Desperately Seeking Capital.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The investment bank Lehman Brothers needs cash and fast. Otherwise, we could be looking at another bank collapse and another government, you know what. A state-run bank in South Korea was a possible savior for Lehman, but today that bank said it has broken off talks. Lehman Brothers shares fell 45% yesterday, and that pretty much wiped out Monday's big gains on Wall Street. The Dow fell 280 points, about 2.5%. It's at 11,230. The S&P 500 had its worst day in about 18 months, a drop of 3.5%, 43 points. The NASDAQ fell 60. Stocks finished lower in Asia today, and they're down a fraction in Europe so far. Jefferson County, Alabama, has its own serious financial problems. Today, some local banks will meet with the county. They're hoping to find a way to avoid one of the largest municipal bankruptcies in more than a decade. From WBHM in Birmingham, Tanya Ott reports.
The clock is ticking. Okay, it's actually been ticking several months now. The county has $3.2 billion in sewer debt. The county's already missed several bond payment deadlines, and without a recent extension, it would have faced penalties and interest of $1 million a day. Wall Street isn't pushing Jefferson into bankruptcy court. The banks could lose money if that happens. But everyone's getting anxious. George Bowman is a Jefferson County commissioner.
No one wants to see this county go bankrupt. And whatever we can do to forestall that, the governor has stepped in to say he's going to give it his best shot.
Some analysts say bankruptcy might be the best option. It worked for Orange County, California back in 1994. But that might be like comparing California's oranges to Alabama's cotton. Orange County has one of the higher median incomes in the country, while 15% of Jefferson County's residents live below the poverty line. In Birmingham, I'm Tanya Ott for Marketplace.
OPEC has decided it can't let the price of oil keep plummeting. Today, the cartel said it would cut production by 500,000 barrels a day. That's not a lot, but it was enough to send oil prices up a bit this morning to almost $104 a barrel. Remember plans to use radar, cameras, and motion detectors at the Mexican border? Federal dollars have been pouring into that project. But we, the taxpayers, might not be getting what we're paying for. Congress holds a hearing on this today. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
In spring of 2006, officials unveiled plans for a high-tech virtual fence along the U.S.-Mexico border. President Bush called it the most technologically advanced border security initiative in American history. But it hasn't quite worked out that way.
The radars were thrown off by raindrops and blowing mesquite leaves. The cameras didn't go the distance.
Rich Stana is with the Government Accountability Office. He says the Department of Homeland Security was supposed to have rolled out stretches of this virtual fence in Arizona and Texas by the end of the year.
Back in February, that was extended to 2011.
And DHS is expected to announce more delays today. The government already set aside more than $1 billion for the fence, and that figure is likely to climb. Stana says none of the high-tech systems deployed along an original 28-mile section of fence work well enough to keep. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. By Ferrer, Straus & Giroux, publishers of the new book by Thomas L. Friedman, Hot, Flat, and Crowded, Why We Need a Green Revolution and How It Can Renew America, wherever books are sold. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
I told you yesterday that car makers were looking for some help from Congress. Low-interest loans. The CEO of Ford said Detroit is not looking for a bailout. That being a loaded term these days and all. Commentator Will Wilkinson says you can call it whatever you want, but it's still an undue burden on taxpayers.
Detroit's big three automakers are struggling. Instead of making cars Americans want to buy, GM, Ford, and Chrysler are clamoring for tens of billions in taxpayer-subsidized government loans. Sadly, these subprime borrowers will likely get their cheap money. Both McCain and Obama are backing the bailout, lest the American public be visited with the calamitous extinction of the Pontiac Vibe and Chrysler Sebring. Just this week, the government took over mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. This put taxpayers explicitly on the hook for their massive liabilities. And earlier this year, the Fed opened the spigot to keep flailing investment houses afloat. There's a decent argument for these interventions. In each case, quick action might have kept these medium-sized disasters from snowballing and bringing down the whole economy. If so, the extravagant expense is worth it. But what if one or all of the big three fail? Well, other companies will buy their assets and use them more wisely and profitably. Some people will lose jobs, most will find new ones, and the gains in efficiency will make the economic pie larger and job growth more likely. Maybe you'll buy a Toyota Camry, made in Kentucky. We'll pull through. Here's a paradox for you. Government guarantees often create the very conditions they are meant to guard against. The implicit guarantee behind the privately owned yet government-sponsored Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac contributed to the irrational risk-taking in the mortgage industry that has pushed our economy to the brink. When individuals and firms are made to bear the costs of their own decisions, their decisions will be more carefully made. Detroit doesn't need taxpayer-subsidized loans. It needs to make better decisions, or else fail. The alternative to creative destruction is not stable prosperity. Propping up yesteryear's winners leads to stagnation at best, plain old uncreative destruction at worst. The best defense is often no defense. But politicians, who can see no further than the next election, have once again placed our bank accounts in harm's way.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog and share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.